Hello, this is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church, which is located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, the speaker will be Ken Ashcroft, who is a missionary to Eastern Europe.
Say that openly and genuinely. So look for a blessing this morning. Mm-hmm. I want to talk more about that. I want to give a couple announcements first. And that is, we are meeting tonight, the Lord willing, at 7 o'clock after the singing. We'll have a monitor here and a video and a word from our brother. And then we have a little snack time after the evening service. But the big time, as far as I'm concerned, is after preaching this morning, we'll have a lunch. All, please stay. I heard what's being made and what has been made, and I'm looking forward to you ladies something else. And by the way, ladies, on the back there, you'll find I made some copies. And you may think it's a little strange, but there's 7 reasons husbands should pray for their wives. And you can use it for your husbands. You can just change it or for my children or for anyone, my relatives. But I was impressed. This man that, and he doesn't give his name, but he does tell us that, he said, I felt I had a need to pray for my wife. And I don't just mean a little prayer for her in the morning at night. I mean intentional and devoted prayer in praying for my wife. And as I've been thinking through this and trying to practice it, I've thought about a few reasons to pray for our wives. And he said, here are 7. Now you can, excuse me. Amen.
Amen.
You see that, ladies? But fellas, it does say, like for instance, prayer helps me celebrate her. What? The 4th reason, prayer helps me celebrate her. Our wives are a gift to us. We husbands ignorantly forget that sometimes. Intentional times of thanksgiving for my wife reminds us of what a gift she is to me. And then, I like this one. Hold on, fellas. 5thly, prayer puts me in my place. I can be a selfish jerk. My mind and heart can go haywire, and I can have prideful, fearful, bitter, and selfish thoughts towards my wife. Wow. Now, it's kind of hard to maintain that posture on your knees before God, a holy God. And so he said, he goes on and says how he prays. Praise is how I fight for her, and she needs it. So, hey, help yourself. There's a few there. When you pick them up, be careful. They're very thin, and you may pick up more. But if you do pick up more, pass them around. Well, then, the scripture says, you know, come, let's sing. Let's sing unto the Lord. Let's make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let's come before him. Let's come before him. And his presence with thanksgiving. Let's make a joyful noise unto him with songs. And let's sing the doxology, which is Roman numeral 16 in the front of the hymnal, please.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Yeah.
Let's have prayer. Our Father, what a joy it is to come into your presence, Lord, of grace and mercy in time of need. And Lord, you know we have needs here this morning, and we're looking that you may pour your blessings upon us. Thank you for this time providentially. And may thy gracious Spirit minister to each of us, whether it's salvation or sanctification. We ask that you would bless our speaker. Thank you for him and his wife. And Lord, may our time together be one in your presence. In Christ we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Him. I will try it. Okay. Very good. Well, I have here 323. Come, let us join with one accord. 3, 2, 3. If you'll turn to 274 is our next hymn. But before we sing it, I want to make a few observations that perhaps will be a blessing to you. 278. I don't want to take Brother Ken time, but I do have something on my heart. This hymn is about the local church, as far as I'm concerned, and we're asking the Lord that he would abide with us, and he'd be our Savior, Lord, and guide. And it ends with, "We beseech thee, hear us." It's a hymn of prayer. We're asking that the Lord would keep the church's life and his doctrine pure, the second stanza, and that she may be one in doctrine, and that she may guide the poor and the blind, seek the lost, and that she, that is a local church, save her love from growing cold. Do you know what I think? I think we can lose our first love. I think we can get dulled. I speak for myself. You can get dull as far as a Christian. You can hear the Word of God and say, "Oh, that's good." But we don't practice it like we ought to. It's one thing to hear the Word of God, it's another thing to practice it. "Oh, that's a good sermon. Oh, that was good." But do we practice? And consequently, we can get into a kind of a dull. And preachers can be dull. And you can be dull. We can be dull Christians. And this hymn is saying the local church is where we ought to get fired up. Unto him, the scripture says, unto Christ be glory. Unto him be glory in the church. Christ received glory, and the local church received glory. And as far as missionaries, I want to say this. I'm an old man. He has a few years on me, though. And I've seen in the 1900s, now, you younger folk, you won't probably get anything of this. There was a great emphasis to go and to countries and give the gospel. And there was a great movement. Mostly of Bible groups, like Bible institutes, interdenominational schools, but some of the Bible churches, like Bible Baptists and so forth. And what happened is, we spent a lot of money. I mean, lots of money. And they went. And they preached. And they preached Christ. But you know what? They didn't take care, as my personal opinion, of the local church. They did this. Excuse me, brother. They Americanized. Tried to Americanize the Africans, for instance. You know, an African, what does he know about a building, a steeple, and all this that we do? They weren't raised that way. They weren't raised biblically. We called them pagans. And we also kind of looked at them as if they're a little lower than us. These young people, and I thank God for them, we sent them across the sea. We gave them money. We supported them. And they lived like they were Americans. And they built Ephesus church buildings like they have here and try to operate churches like we have here and westernize those Africans and South Americans or wherever. And it didn't work out too well, friends. Now, I say this to all of us. Let the church function. Plant churches. Our brother planted a church. Plant churches and teach them. Give them a foundation. Not just go run off giving some scripture, which is necessary to go into the world. But the Lord said, teach them all things. We're to teach foundationally. And I tell you, as I said last Sunday, not all the great churches are big. If you have the idea that all the great churches there are the big ones, they're great. Not all the churches. I don't know how many little churches you get into, but I don't suppose you get into any house churches, do you? No. But I just want to say some of us, we've had to do two jobs called bivocational. Work with our hands and also preach. We didn't have churches support us. But you got to realize some of these things. But let's have a local church. Let's be fired up. Let's have foundational truths so that when we're dead and gone, it'll continue. The Apostle Paul, God used him, but he had a background. Many of the people that he ministered to, not all, he ministered to the Gentiles, but he had Hebrews, and they had some religious background. And when he preached and they come to know Christ, why, he baptized them. But you know, you go out and baptize pagans without any background and don't instruct them and expect that they're going to maintain and do a great job. No, no. Stay and teach. And so, brother, he's been teaching the churches now for I don't know how many years, ministering to churches, and I'm grateful that he's doing this. Now, why did I do that? Because this hymn is a prayer. This is for the local church, and I want us to sing it, and then I'm going to turn it over to Brother Ken. Will you sing with me 278, We Beseech Thee, Hear Us.
Jesus, with thy church abide, the earth's Savior, Lord and Guide. While on earth their faith is tried, we beseech thee, hear us. Keep her life and doctrine pure, grant her patience to endure, trusting in thy promise sure, we beseech thee.
stand as we sing the last two stanzas at the bottom of the page?
Armed soldiers with the cross, great to suffer toil.
For a few more moments. Genesis chapter 17. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram, and he said unto him,
I am the Almighty God. Walk before me, and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face. God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, and I'll give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I'll be their God. This is the word of God. Please be seated. 99 years old. Yes, sir. Well, Brother Ken doesn't make any point about it as being quiet. You know, he had a birthday recently. And this lady has a birthday today. Can you imagine this? She's getting there. She's got to go some ways to catch up with us. But Brother Ken put on his prayer letter that he was 87 years of age. Or maybe his secretary did it. Yeah. You know, we thank God for you, Kath. That traveling around like you did, you folk did, gone to Massachusetts. I don't know how you did it. But anyway, I don't know how you, I'll tell you, that's amazing. Brother Ken, Kath, it's a delight to see you. And he looks bright.
Be nice.
And he's sharp. Yeah, nice.
It's a delight to be back again.
Yeah, tonight.
Meet the saints here. Yes.
Amen. Thank you. Brother, I could give a bias of you, but most of people around here know you. So
it's been a long time.
I don't know how long, but it's been delightful.
Well, you were young and curly-haired.
Curly-haired, huh? You want to put this gizmo on, my brother? The technician would probably appreciate it. They want to record it. It goes on your left ear. And
I have something in it.
Well, that's, well, maybe it won't work.
Around.
Hey, let's forget that. Let's use this. All right, brother?
Well, I have a lot of this.
Yeah.
I'm used to it.
All right. Kenneth Ashcroft.
Thank you. What we have here, servants from Eastern Europe. And immediately I saw that, I was reminded of a verse in Ezra chapter 5 and verse 11. What a wonderful truth in that verse. We are servants of the God of heaven and of earth. And that carries privilege and responsibility to be a servant of God. How wonderful, how marvelous to be one of God's servants. By God's grace, I am what I am. Now, having said that, remember that as servants we must serve the Lord with awe and with a sense of godly fear. I trust we are doing that. Now, please turn in your Bibles to the portion that was read to us in Genesis chapter 17. Genesis 17. Here we have in the first verse a word of encouragement given to Abram, and a word of duty given to Abram. That, I may say reverently, is wrapped up in the announcement, in the statement that is made here. And when Abram was 90 years and 9, I'm getting there, but I haven't got there yet, but the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, here's the word of encouragement, I am the Almighty God. And here's the word of duty, walk before me and be thou perfect. I'll explain later the word perfect. We have before us an amazing announcement given to Abram. But before we take a closer look at that verse, we need to remember that this was not the first manifestation that God made of himself to Abraham. We need to be clear about that. To understand that, we need to go back to chapter 12 in Genesis. And if you go back to chapter 12, you will read in the first verse. This is the old King James version I'm using. Now, the Lord, note, had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. So the had said must throw us back into chapter 11, when Abram was in Mesopotamia, in the city of the Ur or Ur of the Chaldees. And it was there that the Lord appeared to Abram. Now, to confirm even that, if you remember, you can turn if you want to, but if you recall in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 6, the end of the chapter, and then in chapter 7, the beginning of the chapter. And you will remember that Stephen had been arrested and brought before the council, and they had accused him of preaching that which to them was blasphemy. And so before the council, the high priest said, "Is this true, what they are saying about you? Here is an opportunity to speak to the people." And he, according to chapter 7, he said, "Men and brethren, the God of glory that appeared unto Abraham in the," does it say the Ur, the Chaldees, or in Mesopotamia? And so you can see from that, it can be confirmed that it was in Mesopotamia, in the Ur of the Chaldees, that it was there that the Lord first appeared to Abraham. And now, according to chapter 12 and 1, he's out of the land into, or no, perhaps I should say in the closing verses of chapter 11, he moved on with the family, and they stayed, verses 30, you will read 20 and 30, he went forth with them from the Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran, and they dwelt there. And his father, and the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Sometimes Haran, according to Acts chapter 7 and verse 1 and 2, Haran is Charan. It's the same word, the same place, Haran or Charan. And there he stayed for 5 years. And when the father Abram died, then he moved on into Canaan. And there in the opening of chapter 12, we see him in that land. And then he moved, according to chapter 12, into crooked behavior. We know there was a famine and he went down into Egypt. And so we could go on and see what is happening here. And of course, later he listened to the voice of Sarah concerning Hagar, the Egyptian maid, because there was no seed go into Hagar. So there was crooked behavior. And in the period from when he came out, he was, according to verse 4 of chapter 12, Genesis, he was 75 years old. And it was from that age, or should I say coming out, it would be 24 years to chapter 17, verse 1. And if you think of the first 11 years, He came out, and towards the end of the 11 years and the birth of Ishmael, and then 13 years following, and 13 and 11 or 24 added to 75, you'll find you come to 99. And here we are when Abram, according to Romans 4, I believe it's Romans 4, and Abram staggered not at the promise of God. It was when Abram came to himself that God broke in from the secret of his habitation. He came down to speak to Abram, and he said, "Abraham, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect." There was a time when God revealed himself in this way. There was a special moment when God had planned to make himself known unto Abraham in this way. It was Romans 4 and 19. He staggered not. Now was the time. So when Abraham had died to himself, and he could see that God must be first place in his life. Now, having said all that, coming back to this marvelous announcement, announcement to Abraham to encourage him, there are four parts in that verse. And the first part of the verse is, "I am the Almighty God." Now, again, if I can use that expression, wrapped up in that statement, we have for Abram, as he travels on to that city, his builder and maker is God. Abraham, "I am the Almighty God. I'm going to give you divine protection, and there will be divine provision for you." And in the second part of the announcement, "Walk before me and be thou perfect." And there in that we have a godly principle, and we have godly conduct. So there's four parts. And that's what we want to look at. God's promise, not only for Abram, but for Ken Ashcroft and for every one of us. It's the same God that appeared to Abraham that I have the same God. Hallelujah. I wish I was in Romania. Shout out, "Slava Domnului." Praise the Lord. This is the same God. And this, the God who made the announcement, "I am the Almighty God." What an encouragement as I press forward. to Zion, to the eternal home. We have this great God who is ever with us. And you will notice there that there is something that we need to lay hold of. The stress in the verse, in the announcement, is laid upon the little word I. And 15 times in this chapter do we have this stress, I, the source God, I am. Look at it. You have it in verse 2. I will make my covenant. You have it in verse 5. I, the last part that made thee. Verse 6. I will make. And again in verse 6, I will make nations. Verse 7, I will establish. Verse 8, I will give. And verse 8 again, I will be. And you could continue on and you will come to 15 times it is stated that God is the one of almighty infinite power. And infinite provision. What a God. Brother and sister in Christ, take courage as you journey on to your city whose builder and maker is God. This God, if you are a genuine, committed Christian, this God is always at our elbow. He is there. He is with us. Whatever day of the week, he is our God. Amen. I'd like you to turn to Isaiah chapter 10. Of Isaiah. Chapter 40, not 10. Isaiah 41. Sorry for the mistake. Isaiah 41. And I'm looking at verse 10. Isaiah 41 and 10. What a wonderful verse. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Note the first word of encouragement. I am with thee. Notice the second word of encouragement. I am thy God. Notice the third word of encouragement. I will strengthen thee. Notice the fourth word of encouragement. I will help thee. And then the fifth word of encouragement, I will hold thy right hand in righteousness. Brethren, what more do we need than that? Oh, we must not doubt. We should be ashamed of ourselves if we become a rusty Christian. We must be alert and alive, for this is our God, and he is with us. He is Psalm 18. He is our rock and our refuge. And this God is the God who is I am, the Almighty God. Just slips my mind for a moment. Is it El Shaddai or Elohim? I think it's El Shaddai. No, Elohim. Jehovah. I am the Almighty God. Now, go back to Genesis 17. Take courage, brother, sister, that as we travel on, this is what I want to press home to all our hearts. We have this glorious announcement that we can take to ourselves and say, he is my God, and I'm going forward, not doubting, not dragging my feet, but knowing that this God is the living God and is with me every day. Now, having said that, in the announcement we have not only the infinite power, but infinite resources, that God will provide for us. He is a God of provision, and the inexhaustible treasures that he pours out benefits upon us every single day.
Amen.
As we march on to the city whose builder and maker is God. What an encouragement for us. A God of infinite power, and a God of who will provide for us, Jehovah. What is it in
Jehovah Jireh?
Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. And many of us, we know it. And he continues to provide, and he will pour out his treasures upon us. And the world offers so much, but it's all so shallow.
Yes.
So shallow. Yes. Like when we have that which is so inexhaustible treasures, rich resources that come to us every day. The world's offer does not satisfy. Oh, we have so much more, and they are so blind. But we must press on, and we must share the gospel with other people and tell them of the resources that we have because we are united to Christ. Now, having said that, let's have a look at the second part of the verse. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Now, what we have there, as I said a moment ago, is a godly principle. Walk before me. Abraham, walk before me. And we have godly conduct. Be thou perfect. There's a lot in that statement, announcement. Because it refers to our relation to God as his children and God's relation to us as our Father. But what does it mean to walk before God? Many ways we could look at that. We could turn to many scriptures. In the second epistle of John and third, walk in truth. Walk in love. Walk in wisdom. Many different ways of looking at it. And I don't know, the best way really, I think, is to understand it in this way, having a perception of God's presence with us, if we have that perception that God is with us, it means that we are safe. It means we are safe. And I think it's a test of our salvation that we are genuine. It gives evidence that we are one of God's people when we walk before him. Our bees are perfect. And I think it's a sign of spiritual health. I trust that our walk before God is a sincere walk, as we will see in a moment. But there's another way of explaining what it means to walk before God. And I like to think of it even better than the way I've just set before you, in three ways. And that would be consecration to God, communion with God, and dependence on God. That is what I call walking genuinely before God. Consecration to God, communion with God, and dependence on God. Now, when we speak about consecration to God, we must remember that it means set apart, to be set apart. And we who have been united to Christ through a new birth experience, from eternity we have been set apart. We are a people that have been given to God in eternity. And the Father gave to the Son. And we, as a people set apart, that we are to demonstrate in that consecration that we belong to him. It's a lovely picture, especially in Exodus 28 and 29, when the priests were being set apart for the priesthood, and we read there that they were washed with water, they were sprinkled with blood, and they were anointed with oil. And to be set apart for God, it means that we've been washed through the water of the Word of God, and we have been cleansed through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have been anointed by the Holy Spirit. And in that way, we as God's people set apart, we walk before him, we give evidence that we are a consecrated people, that we have been set apart to serve the Lord God Almighty. We have been lifted, hallelujah, to a higher plane. Isn't that wonderful? Lifted to a higher plane. Colossians chapter 2. I believe it's in Colossians chapter... No, it's Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. And verse 13, we have been delivered. And I think verse 14, it says that we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness, kingdom, and we have been emancipated. Amen. From the slave market of sin. Because we are set apart. We are, as we read in the Titus, we are God's peculiar people, a people for God's own possession, set apart for him and for his glory. What a privilege. Now, having said that, what does it mean, communion with God? Walk before me. Well, the most fruitful way to walk before God is communion with God, meaning spend time with the Word of God and spend time in prayer with God. And if there's very, very little communion, if there's very, very little meditation to nourish us up in the doctrines of the Word, and we don't spend time with the Word of God, and we do not spend time in prayer, then our walk will be very, very shabby. But to have communion with God will cause us to be alive and alert every day. Because we have, before we walk, we always talk. We should talk with the Lord before you start to walk unto the day that's laid before you. And then, of course, dependence upon God. What a privilege that is. That we, as the children of God, have, we can depend on our God. Not on the arm of flesh, but dependence upon the promises of God and upon the truth of God. And if we depend on the promises and truth of God, we will walk before him. And we'll hear one day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But then, we have in the announcement, and be thou perfect. If there is a godly principle in that statement, there is also a godly conduct for us to take note of. Because to walk before God is one thing, but to be thou perfect. In the margin of my Bible, and probably you have already seen it. It means upright, sincere. Upright or sincere. No crooked conduct. No pretending. Like I think I mentioned to you when I was last here that I had been reading a sermon by Spurgeon called Mongrel Religion from 2 Kings. I think I wrote it in the back of my Bible there. 2 Never mind, can't see it. 2 Kings chapter 28. And they feared God. This was the text. And they served their idols. That's mongrel, that's mixed. You can't do that. But Christians are doing that all the time. They're serving, seeking to serve God and their idols. And that, to me, is mixed religion, and it's dangerous. And here we are looking at beacons that are lights to show us how we should walk and what kind of behavior that we should be having. Notice then the words, "Be thou perfect before men and before God, upright, sincere, nothing crooked in our ways, not double-minded, not mixed, but having a singleness of eye as we go forward." Turn in your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel. Let me see. Chapter 5. Matthew 5. And verse 14. Verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. Remember Genesis. Be thou perfect. Upright. Sincere. Why? Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Glorify your Father which is in heaven. Meaning sincere, upright, not pretending. Let your light shine. Go to Luke's Gospel chapter 11. 11:34 of Luke. 11:34. I think it's worth looking at the chapter. I haven't got it yet, but 11, here it is. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. Singleness of eye, walk before me, be thou perfect. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4 of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 4. And I'm looking at verse 25. Let your eyes, remember what we have just read in Matthew and Luke, let your eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Don't forget Genesis 17:1, and be thou perfect, upright, sincere. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Some translations have it, don't be sidetracked. Don't be sidetracked. Be thou perfect. There is a verse in Proverbs 4. I love verse 18-19. The path of the just, meaning the righteous. The same word. The path of the righteous or the just is as a shining light. Progress. It shineth more and more unto the perfect day. But the path of the wicked, the ungodly, is as darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. So, with all that and so many more verses, but it brings us back to that statement in Genesis 17. Abram, I am the Almighty God. I am the God of infinite power. I am the God of infinite resources. But there's a godly principle, Abram. And that is, walk before me. Oh, and Abram, there need be godly conduct. Godly conduct. Be thou perfect. And I think that so many Christians that I have met, so many, there's something that so often you discover they're not sincere. They're not upright. There's a crookedness. And we need all of us to be extremely careful that in our walk with God, we follow the path of godly conduct. We could do more with more of God. godly conduct amongst Christians today. May God establish his word upon our hearts, and may it bring fruit for his glory and honor. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Ken, for that good word. Let's turn to hymn number 79.
Our brother believes that this verse will connect with what he has preached, and he'd ask that we sing it. Hymn number 79. I would have you to think about that. There would be access to his message if you ask Brother Jim or Nathaniel if you'd like a message to take and play in your CD player. Didn't I tell you that God would bless us? I heard a good word this morning. Now then, may our benediction be given, and I do have a couple things to say after Brother Bob plays a little bit of that hymn in closing. I want to say a few more things, but here is the benediction. The God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Please be seated. Custom.
Thank you for listening to this recording from Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For more information, please call us at area code 570-546-6859 or email us at pastor@localchurchpa.com.